Good to be here today.
Glad you're here.
Glad I'm here too. It's not often we get up here, but it will be hopefully a blessed sermonette. Before I get right into the sermonette, I want to tell you a couple times that made me think of God as I go about my day at work. I drove in, there's apartment buildings on each end and houses along the side. I drove into the parking lot and parked there. And what the kids did, they put up a net for volleyball. And I've seen it several times as I've walked in. And, this one day I got in, the wind was blowing a little bit when I come. And I looked over and it was moving a little bit. Now keep in mind, there's holes in this net. 4 inches square or 6 inches square, whatever it was. And it's pegged down on each side, the poles, and it's so sturdy. And they had a note telling the kid not to climb on it. So when I walked in, I never thought too much about it. When I walked back out, the wind had picked up a fair bit. And when it picked up, the wind took the net and kind of pushed it. And I got thinking, you know, there's all holes in this. What effect would the wind have if it would just go through these holes? But I got thinking about us. And that's the way our life is in this world. We're anchored with God on each side of us and all around us, basically. And the wind blows on us and kind of pushes us a little bit. But because God's got us anchored, even with the holes in us, we're not going to go anywhere. The wind of this, the evil of this world just simply goes through us or by us, and it really doesn't have any lasting effect on us if we're anchored and tied down through this net, the process. So I got thinking, you know, that we have to be like that in our life. This world comes at us in many ways. The old saying goes, if you turn your TV off and turn your computer on and you're listening to a Christian broadcast, things pop up that aren't of this world. So something's always coming at us. And we have to remain strong and trust in those pegs, which is the Lord, that keeps us anchored to the ground. So that was one thing that kind of struck me that day. My mind travels sometimes. I see God in everything. So when I got back in, was getting back into the car, all this came through my mind. That net is not going anywhere, no matter how strong the wind blows. And if a hurricane was to come along, they'd take the net down. God, and that's God putting us in a secure spot, not out there in that wind. So I just wanted to highlight that with you a little bit. And I also a little later in the day, I was in another street. And I went by this, made the turn, and there's this flagpole there. And the flag, and same windy day, right? But where it was, there was no wind. And the flag was just drooped down like this. And then all of a sudden, as I finished going around a corner, a gust of wind came along and took that flag and blew it out. And that's the way we are. That's the way, sometimes we have to endure not having, we sometimes think that God's not in our life. Right? We just, you know, where's God in all this? You know, but then all of a sudden you get that gust of wind in your face, and you know God is there, letting you fly your colors, and be the person that He wants you to be, not just the person that you think you should be. So those, I just wanted to bring those two incidents. They really struck me the day I was working. So it's just in relationship to God. You know, where do we see God? How is He playing our life? And I look for Him in my life every day, because I'm all over the place. So when He's, I think I go north. No, He's not in the north, but He's there with me. When I go south, He's with me. When He's west, He goes with me. So I am so happy that He's with me all the time that I don't worry about anything. I go about my day and do my job, you know, and then I meet people. So let's turn to, that was just a little addition to what my sermon is really about. Turn to Matthew 7, 21 and 24. And in this, Jesus is giving us a warning to those who think they are doing the Lord's will. And some are not going to make it into the kingdom. question is, why not? Because, you know, like he says in verse 23, many say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name have cast out demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. And in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Then he gets into that scenario of building on a rock in the sand. So, no matter what you think you're doing, no matter what you think you're doing the Lord's work, it has to be what he says, not what you think. And that's one of the things, that's the whole idea of getting into this book. What does God want me to do? What does God tell me to do? And that's a perfect example of them thinking they did. Everything they did was for God, but it wasn't. So we have to keep that in the back of our mind when we're doing things. Why are we doing it? In 1 Corinthians 1, I got my mark here. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that preach, to them that perish, foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So what's the gospel? What's the good news? That's what we need to know. Because we don't want to be those that perish and call God's words foolishness. So the preaching of the cross, why do we want to learn about God the Father? Do we want to be better? Do we want to better ourselves and think that we are better than those that know not God? Just remember what Paul said in verse 24 and 25. And we read those. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Gentiles, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So we only have to, we only have what God reveals to us. And without that, we are no better than the world. So we must focus on the cross, and what it has done for us, not what we've done for the cross, and not what we think we have and are doing for Christ. So sometimes we think we're doing God's work, and we're really not. We're not doing what Christ wants us to do and what he lays out in his word. And again, if you're not, you're going to be part of that perishing. So we have to be keenly aware of that. Turn over to Proverbs 6:16. I just want to read you, Proverbs 16 to 19. These are six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceiveth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Not among the world. Not among the world. Among brethren. So we have to be very, very careful about these things. These are the things that we should work on by avoiding them. Not concentrating on them, but by avoiding them. We have to know what God hates in order for us to avoid them. In verse 19 is the one directed right at all of us, and is sometimes right among us, and we cannot even see it. So, we have to be extremely aware of it. And this gets into the brother. If somebody does something wrong within the congregation, for example, or within the church, I should say, that you take them aside. You talk to them. If he doesn't listen, you take two or three brothers with you. If he doesn't listen, you take him to the congregation. And then you deal with it from there. We have the instructions. We just sometimes don't use them, but we want to be aware of what this is really all about. Now, turn over to Philippians 3:14. My page way back here. Philippians 3:14-17. This is where I get my title from. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And in verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. That word there is the key to it all. First, you press towards the mark to be an example. You're not in this world to just make yourself look good. You're to be an example to your brothers, and you're to be an example to the world. In that we must be an example to the world. And that is so, so important. And we wonder, you know, I can't live up to this. I can't live up to this. But he says, I press towards the mark. It is a high mark that God has set before us. And Jesus and the Heavenly Father have the right to set that high mark. Because first of all, God owns this world. So he has the right to set that mark and set it high. And it's for our benefit when we reach it. And as they want and they put work daily, attain it for our sake with God's help. So in other words, I got that mixed up a little bit, but we can't attain that high mark on our own. We have to have God in our heart, we have to have God in our minds, and we have to have God in our outward actions. And that's the way we work at reaching that high mark that God has set for us. And all right in this book. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, go back a page or two here. Okay, Mark. 1 Corinthians, there we are. 1 Corinthians. There we go. 1 Corinthians 1:10-13. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there is no divisions among you, but that ye are perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided, as Paul was called, was Paul crucified to you, for you, and were the baptized in the name of Paul? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? In this one here, we must not be divided, but of one body. And that is essential because that is looking towards each other and being part of that body of Christ. That we not look for division. In Jude 3:4, oops, page here. Jude is always a hard one to find, but it's right before Revelation. Jude 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needed for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend the faith for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. In verse 4, there are certain men creep in unawares, who are therefore of old ordained in this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lascivious, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, no matter how good we are, no matter what we do, Paul tells us there's always going to be those that creep in among us, and we have to be aware of that. And in order to be aware of that, we have to set those high mark, that standard, and be aware of what's going on around us. In verse 16 of this Jude, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in last times, who should walk after their own godly lust. In verse 19 and last, these be they who separate themselves, essentially having not the Spirit. So that's how we can judge those. When they act this way, we know they do not have the Spirit. And so we must walk. This is what we should work towards and build each other up. As it says in verse, first thing, the first word he uses in that verse is beloved. That's a dearment. We should have that attitude towards each other. And faith that has once delivered to us is this word. Anybody that deviates from this word doesn't have that. So we have to be consistent in what we talk about. Very consistent. And let's turn back to Colossians 1:22, and coming down to the end of this. In 1:22 it says, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which we have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And verse 23. Paul is emphasizing that mark that is set, and that's the gospel that was given, and grounded and settled, not just a here, there, go there, preaching. He preached what was given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to finish up in Ecclesiastes 12:13, 13 and 14. Now remember this. This is under the heading in my title, the duty of man. And I'm going to add women in that too. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Actually, duty is not really in the original. It says this is the whole man. For God should give every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So, which side of the good or evil are you on? When you get in this book, and you keep in this book, and you understand this book, you pray that you'll be on the side of good, not evil.